Hi, Theo, we're good to go.
All righty.
All right, so great. Let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Absolutely. So I graduated in spring of 2015 with a bachelor's in songwriting.
All right, cool. And what was your principal instrument?
I went for electric bass.
Nice. All right, so we will get to your history later, but
Sure.
for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Sure. I work at Lesley University, the art and design school there. I am the digital lockup manager. Within that, sort of like a subtitle as media support specialist. So I manage a checkout center where we rent out film and animation equipment, audio equipment, to the film students, the animation students, some of the photo students, etc.
By rent out, I assume it's free like a library or.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah, so we do kind of like a not quite a membership, but as long as you are a currently enrolled art and design student, you send this member info form that states, you are responsible for the gear for X amount of time of the checkout, right? And it is free with our education, which is great. So between that, I also manage some of the computer labs for the art and design school. So doing a lot of the computer updates, imaging within those rooms, AV troubleshooting in the classrooms as well.
Okay, cool. And how big is the Lesley Art and Design School?
That is a good question. I might have to resort to Google for this, but
Mean, students or faculty or like staff or.
it's both students, faculty, and staff. So yeah, so
No, I just mean you could answer in terms of either students or in terms of employees.
I wish I had the number for you. Online it's saying about 700 students within the Art and Design School.
All right, so about as big as Boston Conservatory.
Yep, sounds right.
Gotcha. And sorry, can you tell me your title once more?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Digital Lockup Manager.
Digital lockup, you said?
Yeah, lockup, like locking a bike up.
Got it. And are you the only person with that title in your school?
I am, yes.
Understood. Do you have people working under you whom you supervise, or?
I do supervise a lot of the student staff, and then I have a my supervisor who's the director of academic computing, and then my coworker who's the fabrication lab manager.
Okay, got it. So it sounds like it's a combination of administrative stuff, keeping track of who has what, and also technical stuff. Would that be accurate?
Definitely, yeah. So I think it's always tricky describing it to people because we are definitely similar to information technology, but it's very specific to the art and design school. So we're actually separate from Lesley's IT. Well, we fall under their big umbrella, but we are our own sort of branch named Academic Computing.
Sure. And let's see, like, what type of equipment? I think you gave a couple examples. Any.
Yeah, we have some film cameras, so anywhere between like a Canon XF100, Canon C100s. We have some Blackmagic 6K cameras. We also have some DSLR, so it's mostly Canon based, because we use all Canon mount lenses. But also between that, we have zoom recorders, task cam recorders, tripods, C stands, light stands.
So how much do
Sorry.
you know? I was gonna ask, like, how much do you personally know the camera stuff?
That is always a challenge for me because ideally in a perfect world I would have more time to sort of getting down to the nitty-gritty of the camera stuff. I have done some video editing and some video shooting in the past, but as far as being a film major, so to speak, right, to be really helpful for some of the film majors. I actually resort to some of the student staff to assist with that.
Understood. I assume it's about 40 hours a week?
It is, yeah, 35 technically, but
okay, nice. In a salaried position, I'm sure.
It is, in a sense, yeah, I get paid hourly, but it is, yeah, full-time with benefits and whatnot.
Gotcha. So if they ever did ask you to work more, they'd pay you more.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, it's a nice feature.
Yeah.
Could you, like, take us through your typical day? Work day, you know, what it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, especially just going through the first week of the semester, it is, you know, I think a lot of the time I go in and I check on our student staff to see how lockup's doing that morning. You know, some mornings are way busier than others, so I'm often assisting students with, you know, making reservations for future maybe film shoots or classes. Maybe a film class has a large set of equipment that they need for that class. But between that, I'm also just acting as a, not quite a backup, but sort of just a on-call technician for the classroom. So if any of the AV is going down, or if, you know, someone needs an adapter, things like that. And so we also have a design lab with a Riso printer, as well as a vinyl cutter, and another space in the building over that, in University Hall. So it's kind of managing a couple different spaces, but for the most part, you know, acting as the digital lockup manager. So within that, there's also a fine art print lab. So we have, you know, a 17-inch printer, a 24-inch printer, 44-inch printer. So we actually do a lot of this large format printing for the students as well. So that's a big part of my job.
Gotcha. Very cool. So, hey, one criteria you have to hit to qualify for these interviews is that
yep.
you enjoy what you do. So can you talk about what is it about, you know, being the digital lockup manager working at your university that you enjoy?
Yeah. You know, for one, I will say it's really awesome to be surrounded by artists. You know, a lot of the other staff and faculty, well, the faculty especially, are, you know, artists in the community. So whether or not they're musicians, they're great visual artists. And I think it's just really cool to be surrounded by creative minds like that. But also, I think it's just, I don't know, I've always just had a knack for working in kind of tech-y jobs, you know, sort of just assisting in a customer service role, but, you know, with Mac computers or projectors and things like that. I kind of just, I had worked for my dad's video production company right after Berkeley, and I think I sort of just found a place for myself within that. You know, it was easy for me to learn, but it was also nice just assisting others that needed the help.
Sure, that's great. So that's a great lead-in into the next part of the interview, which is, yes, let's take it back to 2015, although if you think your story is a logical earlier starting point, we can go back further. But, you know, maybe you were thinking about being some sort of, you know, artistic tech guy, maybe not. Put us in your headspace as Berkeley was finishing up, and then we'll go one step at a time in your career, both what you were doing, but also like where you were at mentally.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So my last semester at Berkeley, I was working at a paid internship at Run for Cover Records. That was an indie record label right in Alston, Massachusetts. And, you know, I think I had hopes of maybe going full-time with them where I was doing some record assembly, but also just, you know, being a part of that team. And, you know, it's really a small, tight-knit team, and you know, maybe working closely with them, maybe even getting into some songwriting with some of their bands or songwriters. But I was also, you know, I was looking for some songwriting gigs, right? And I think it was a little tricky to navigate. I was sort of looking all over the place where I could, on LinkedIn, Indeed, and I think I came to realize that In the songwriting world, it seems more often than not that is maybe like a word of mouth or like a foot in the door sort of scenario where you get yourself into a role like that. It's not necessarily going to be listed on Indeed.com where, hey, we're Warner Brothers is hiring for a songwriter, right? So I think that was not quite a harsh reality for me, but I think it kind of opened my eyes to that. Oh, like this is certainly more of a profession that requires more networking or, you know, being in the right place at the right time sort of thing. So after graduating, I was still working with Run for Cover Records and, you know, just applying at places in Boston, places in New York, places in LA. I think at one point I was interviewing with Isotope to see if maybe I can get into some music software development or even just working customer service with them, you know, sort of just finding anything music related. And I was struggling, to be honest with you. And I think it just came down to it that, you know, it made sense at the time. Maybe I'll move home for a little. I'll save some money. Can work for my dad's video production company and gain some skills there. And so within that, I was doing
by
some...
By the way, where's home? Where's...
Oh, sure. I grew up in Newtown, Connecticut.
Okay.
Yep. So my dad's office was out of Danbury, Connecticut. And the majority of the time I was editing video using Adobe Premiere Pro. But oftentimes I would go on some shoots with him, or, you know, we would be setting up and striking for AV events as well.
Okay, cool. So you're working like for the family business, your father.
Yep. Yeah. And then, I think, you know, it just came time for me to get out of the folks' house again. Yeah, exactly. So I found my way back up to Boston.
How long were you back home?
That was probably about, I want to say, 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think between that, I had been staying with my sister up in Beverly, Mass. She was renting an apartment, you know, and maybe working like a cafe job or something like that. And so I think after working for my dad's company, I made my way back up to Boston. And I was actually working two jobs. So one of them was the music assistant at the Boys and Girls Club in South Boston. So, you know, teaching music lessons, but also just helping run some activities, some songwriting activities, maybe some production workshops. And then simultaneously also working as a media technician at Harvard University. So kind of similar to what I do now, except it was primarily actually going and filming courses that would later get, you know, trimmed down and uploaded to the course website just so that if any students were working virtually or missed that class, they would have access to the class.
Gotcha. How did you get that job, by the way?
You know, I think I had a friend that had just posted about it online. You know, and it probably was on Indeed or any of those hiring websites. But I think, yeah, I had just found word of mouth. It was a part-time position, and my friend highly recommended it. So.
Cool. So you're working at Harvard. Can I ask, how was the pay at Harvard?
Well, as a part-time position, I think it was fairly low. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that it was just part-time, and I think they were really looking for people with very little to no experience, maybe like still in college or just out of college sort of thing. Because
sure.
I think it was maxed out at maybe 25 hours a week.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha. So how long were you working there?
That's a good question. I want to say about, I remember it was actually pretty short-lived. I think it was 3 to 4 months because I found myself getting hired for a temp job as a media support specialist at Mount Ida College, which is now closed, unfortunately. But yeah, that was my first full-time job working as like kind of a help desk IT guy for a college. And to be honest, I really loved that job. I mean, it was just a really good sense of community. It's a smaller school, so, you know, you kind of just knew everyone. Coworkers were great. I feel like the work was challenging. Like, I was still learning new things, but it wasn't necessarily overbearing or anything. And, yeah, it was just unfortunate that the place had to shut down. I think it was actually bought out by UMass Amherst.
Oh, right. That was in Newton, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that. But by the way, how did you get that job?
That, I think, when I was at both the Boys and Girls Club in Harvard, I think I was, probably looking for a full-time job on Indeed.com, and then I think maybe via LinkedIn. I really can't remember how they got a hold of me, but it was Robert Half Technologies. It's kind of just a temp agency. They had just reached out to me and told me about the position. And at the time, I think I already didn't have health insurance, so I was like, oh yeah, what's the harm? This is a full-time position with the option to go as like an actual full-time employee and maybe get benefits later on. And so I went for it, and that was actually going according to plan. I was going to get hired full time as like an actual employee for them, and then of course the school shut down.
Yeah.
So it was a
Ouch.
bummer.
At that point, is that where you then went to Wellesley?
That is when I actually ended up. So I believe this is what, maybe the summer of 2018. I had a bit of an unemployment stint, looking for other maybe temp jobs or similar jobs, but then I actually found myself going back to the Boys and Girls Club, because the music director at the time, who I was assistant to, had, moved on to another position and recommended me for the job. So I went and I worked there, I want to say a year and a half. That sound right? Maybe a little over a year. It was by August of 2018 to end of October of 2019. And that was a full-time position, and it was really great. I'm still trying to make an effort to go and volunteer there because I had such a good relationship with the staff and the kids there. But unfortunately, those types of jobs tend to be the underpaid jobs, right? And I'm
Sure.
dealing with a fair amount of student loans and whatnot. So it's I just have to make a set amount of money per month to to be able to live. But
I get it. Boston's not cheap either.
it's not, it's like it's at this point it's almost like paying New York or LA prices. So almost there. But yeah, I think, similarly, I was probably browsing on Indeed or maybe higher ed jobs, and I came across the media support specialist role at Leslie at the time, which turned into my position now, which is the digital lockup manager position. And so I've been there since November of 2019.
Are you saying that you were hired for one job and then got like promoted into your current role?
To an extent, I think it was a mixture of maybe on their end not having updated the job title. So, it was almost like a parentheses, media support specialist and digital lockup manager was actually the priority, which when I had applied, I wasn't entirely aware of, given my little experience with some of the film cameras that they use. But, I think I've managed it well, and I've done a decent job at learning the gear and just knowing when to tell people that I maybe check with your faculty about which camera you should use for this shot, because I am no film major by any means, but definitely getting a better grasp on it.
Gotcha. So here you are.
Indeed, yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. And let me preface this next question by saying there's no right or wrong answer to it.
Okay.
Okay. So these days, right, mid-2022, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
I actually, before we hopped on this call, I was at a 4-hour rehearsal because I'm playing a friend's wedding in October, and that's actually relatively new for me, is doing the cover band stuff. I play in two original projects. I play guitar and sing in one band called Pet Fox, and I play drums in another band called Avlov. And so that does take up a good chunk of my free time outside of work, which is great. However, it's I think I deal with it a lot where I struggle to find the time after work sometimes. You just want to relax. And it's I don't want to say I have to force myself to play music, but sometimes I definitely have to make the extra effort to just you know, pick up the guitar, or go hit the drums for a little. And I'm always glad I do, but yeah, you know, just working a 40-hour week sometimes, so you just want to relax.
Oh, I get it. So sounds like two original bands. You said you're doing like a lot of covers in this wedding band. Is that becoming like a side income thing, or is this like a one-off for a friend?
You know, it began as a one-off, and I think at the end of this rehearsal we were talking, you know, we're learning 30, 40 songs, and we're like, you know, maybe we do just try and get some bar gigs, or maybe even do more weddings in the future, you know, because we're putting in the work now, so long as we have those songs under our belt, who knows, maybe it could be some side income.
Yeah, gotcha, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, so... next question I have is, obviously, you know, Berkeley got a bachelor's degree, and the colleges especially usually like their employees to have a college degree, you know.
Yeah.
But beyond it being a bachelor's degree, you know, compared to if you got into some other random school, is there anything you feel that your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current career?
That's a good question. I mean, maybe not in my current career, but just as far as, you know, trying to, cause I, you know, I certainly am happy in this role. However, I think it is more, more so a means of being able to pay the bills so that I can, you know, be able to do music with my original projects as well.
Sure.
But, you know, it did prepare me in the sense that things are not always going to be stable income, right? Like, if, especially as a musician, sometimes there's going to be ebb and flow of maybe doing long tours and then coming back and then having no work at all, right? So I think it definitely helped me understand that.
Gotcha. Very fair. Let's turn that question around now. Because, you know, Berkeley gives that one degree, a bachelor's in music, and you went to Berkeley knowing that, and, you know, you have been holding your own here. But all that said, is there anything where you look back and say, you know, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't?
I wouldn't say... it was because they didn't teach it to me. I think it was more so that I try not to regret anything, but there, I do feel as if I had taken maybe just a little time after high school to really figure out, you know, what I wanted to get out of a music education, maybe I would have put more focus into music business or music production. 'Cause I think I definitely enjoyed all of my classes and, you know, meeting my professors in the songwriting world. But I think I had or have gained a lot of the skills just within the practice that I think, you know, maybe I don't want to say learning something more practical, but maybe just gaining those skills that I are harder to come by without maybe, you know, an education behind it. Yeah.
I completely understand. Very fair. All right, so next question I have for you is, again, you had a couple little bits of unemployment, but you found this footing kind of doing the audiovisual track and then getting onto the college employment track where you've been, you know, making a solid career for yourself. Not everyone has yet found that solid career, and there's of course lots of students maybe in a position you were in 2014 or 15 going, oh, you know, what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
I think you know, just have an open mind as to what you would like to do for work. You know, it's I didn't really imagine myself in a position like this. However, I came to enjoy it. I think I'm for me, I'm kind of a people person. You know, I like interacting with other people. And so if there's a way that I can help people, really in any sense, I think I get a lot out of that. So having an open mind and not just, you know, only sticking to this mentality that, oh, I have a music degree, I need to work in music. Because I dwell on that a lot. You know, I wonder sometimes if I was working a 40-hour week or, you know, a quote-unquote full-time position in music, would that take some of the passion away from it for me? You know, so I think just to have an open mind and think about other skills that you have that you might enjoy doing for work, and then having music be, I don't want to say a passion project, because I think sometimes people can feel as if I'm not good enough as a musician, but I think it's a very competitive industry, and I think finding a way to make your full-time job outside of music still something enjoyable for you, so that you can work on music on your own time and not have it be a means of income, I think is pretty awesome as well.
Gotcha. Excellent. And to zoom in a little bit, I'm probably going to put you in there under other media in the profession, being kind of you an audio, or not an audio, but a guy who works with all this fancy equipment.
Sure.
Camera and stuff. But let's say, you know, no one's listening to all 214 interviews. But for someone who, you know, kind of looks at what you're doing and, you know, isn't saying they want your exact job, but, you know, something, hey, like working for a college that seems to have, you know, some benefits, if nothing else, it, you know, there's a good work-life balance. You get to, you know, kind of use cool technology, keep track of a lot of stuff, be around artistic people and so on,
yep.
Creative people. So someone who's thinking, like, this seems like a kind of cool career, how do I start? Someone who's not yet doing what you're doing but thinking that might be a good direction to go, do you have any specific advice for them?
Yeah, you know, I think my experience all had started just with kind of a customer service background. You know, I was pretty handy with a Mac computer, but by no means, you know, like an Apple expert. And so just being a people person, being a customer service representative, and then, you know, obviously having a little experience via my dad's company, but even prior to that, I don't know. I mean, it's, I'm not entirely sure. Can you repeat the question one more time?
I'm just like sort of feeling like, you know, the career direction you went in seems kind of cool. And,
yeah.
You know, how do you get it? What advice do you have for someone who's really kind of considering what you're doing as a career for themselves?
You know, I think it's, again, just kind of having an open mind, but also you know, say if someone is interviewing for an entry-level AV support position or anything like that, it's just being honest about your experience, but being totally willing to learn new technologies and whatnot. I mean, part of my job was me, you know, physically taking some of the equipment home and testing it out for my own, you know, for my own type of research, right? So, for example, I end up renting a tripod, a DSLR, maybe some lighting gear, so that I can film drum covers at, you know, at my practice space. And so I'm able to gain experience at my full-time position while also, you know, using it to my, you know, for my benefit, which is
gotcha.
Nice.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, AT, I just have one last question for you.
Sure.
Which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
You know, I think for me, it's that I will continue to, you know, try to find a career within music, but by no means does it mean that I'm unhappy in my position now. You know, I'm very grateful for where I'm at, having the benefits, having such a strong community at my job. And, you know, I think it's going to keep me going, keep me around in the Boston area, but also gives me an opportunity to network it with other visual artists, which is great. So, yeah, just Just grateful for where I'm at today.
That's an awesome attitude to have. And hey, well, I really enjoyed this conversation, Theo. Thank you so much for making the time, and I'm glad we were able to connect today.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Kevin, for having me.
All right. Well, I'll catch you later. Good luck with everything.
All right. Have a good one.